views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast for us, adults with ADHD. I'm your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Again, welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? If I didn't, I'll say it again. Welcome to you. I hope you're having a good time of it since we last got together. Maybe you heard the previous podcast a couple of weeks ago. I know I was supposed to get caught up last week. I just didn't. I'm sorry. Sorry, as they say. Sorry, old chap. That's about the weakest British accent I've ever heard. Go figure. But yeah, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my duty and I'm doing my best. And I hope you're feeling good, as I had mentioned, as you know, we get along in life. And if you're not feeling good, well, I'm sure we all can say we've been there. It doesn't make it any easier. I try to ride the wave as best I can, and I hope you're doing the same thing. You know, just don't give up hope. Just keep going on. Keep moving on. I'll do my best to enlighten you today or maybe put a smile on your face or whatever. So please keep listening. Speaking of listeners, we need more listeners too. We can always use more listeners. There's a bunch of people listening to us from around the world, but I want a bigger bunch, please. Call me greedy, I guess. It's always nice to spread the word and to spread a little comfort and a little joy. Boy, that sounds like a Christmas card if I ever heard one, to other people with ADHD, because that's what it's all about. We have to band together, right? Once we get comfortable with each other, then maybe we can make a big difference. There, I'm on my soapbox. And I'll tell you an initiative that's coming up that does just that, but I'll tell you about it a little later. It's what we call a teaser. A few weeks ago, actually it was a week ago this past weekend, I was in Halifax for the CADAC annual conference. CADAC as in the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. They're the folks that bring you this podcast. Thank you for their support. If you're listening, I'm involved in CADAC. A lot of people think, yeah, I'm associated. Yes, I am. I do a lot of work with them. And part of the work was at the conference. Very informative, some great speakers, and it was so nice to be on the East Coast again. I spent a lot of my life on the East Coast of Canada, 4 years in Halifax, which is a great city. If you're listening from outside of the Maritimes, do yourself a favor. Take a vacation. Go to Halifax. You won't be disappointed. Please, Nova Scotia Tourism, you can always send your check too. No, it's a great part of the continent. Lots of interesting things to see and great scenery. The whole Maritimes, the whole Atlantic provinces for that matter. Great place to be. And I was so happy, as I said, being there and having that conference in Halifax, because this was a big deal for ADHD people in Eastern Canada. Resources are somewhat limited. Not somewhat, they are limited in that part of the world. And maybe this is just a little kickstarting, getting things going. I know that a grant was received from the Nova Scotia government to help offset the costs. And as a result, the registration, the amount, the dollar amount was reduced. So that's good to know that, you know, government, at least in Eastern Canada, saying, hey, we know what ADHD is, or maybe they do or they don't, but they acknowledge it as being something that's worth investing in as far as, you know, helping people out. And we have a lot to offer, of course. We know that, right? We as in ADHD people. But it's good to see government get involved. As I mentioned, an interesting conference, a lot of nice people. Heard some people come up to me and say, hey, listen to the podcast. That was nice. They didn't say they liked it. They just said they listened. Hey, at least I got that. Now, a few people said they enjoy it. And getting there, a little bit of a milk run took an airline that flies out of not the the big Toronto airport, but the little Toronto airport. Yes, Toronto has two airports, two commercial airports for commercial airlines. And the little airport is located on an island just off of the city of Toronto, not far, you know, less than a mile, or I'm sure, I don't know how far offshore it is. No, it's not a mile. Quarter of a mile, maybe, Toronto Island. And the types of planes that can fly there, because it's somewhat restricted due to the short runway, are prop-driven planes. Now, I'm not talking little Cessnas. I'm talking, you know, these planes have, you know, rows of seats of two rows down. I don't know, there might be 30, 40, 50 rows. You know, a few people on the plane, but it makes a milk run. On the way to Halifax, we stopped off in Montreal. On the way back, we stopped off in Ottawa. I say we because I wasn't alone. One of the people who was featured at the conference, or the night of the conference, at a comedy night, which I emceed, was Patrick McKenna. And Patrick is a Canadian actor. He's a comedian, an activist, an author, I believe. Yeah, he's an author. I'm sure he is. I'll have to check that. In any case, he's well known if you've ever seen the Red Green Show. Yeah, he's the nephew Harold, which is a funny role. And as a result, as we're flying to Halifax, we had a good time. We were across the aisle. The aisle's not big. And, of course, we started chatting about things and making each other laugh. And Patrick's lovely wife was there, Janice, who was suffering on the way there. She suffers from headaches, not just headaches, migraines, which can be real, ugh. I've had a few, but she has them often. She had one there, going there. So she was sleeping, and she was telling us every so often she would hear in the background us laughing and having a good time. I don't know if the people around us were having a good time, but we were. And that made the trip just fly by, for us at least. Two ADHDers with a bit of a sense of humor. So that was good. And when we made it to Halifax, you know, got the conference going, good to see all those people on the East Coast just absorbing everything in the conference. Very enthusiastic, because we had some pretty good keynote speakers there. And it's always nice when we, as in we, people with ADHD, can get together en masse and, you know, just be a big group and be ourselves. We're able to talk about it without worrying if, well, are we going to be mislabeled? No, no one's labeling anybody there. So that was good. And chatting with the different people from around the Maritimes, around Canada. Somebody flew in from Winnipeg, which is a long haul. And it's always nice to meet both people that you've met before and new people as well, and get to hear their side of the story. And it's good to band together, because when we band together and get to know each other, we get to, I don't know, just relate to one another. And once that happens, maybe we can band together to do some good when it comes to ADHD awareness. And I'm going to tell you something, an initiative that was kicked off about a week or two before the conference, but really a push was made. And that's all I'll say right now. I'll tell you more about it a little later on in the program. That's what we call a tease. And the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC, you know, I can't say enough about them. Again, their website, cadac.ca, lots of information on there. And there was a running joke that, you know, I'm heading to Halifax and something I miss, a specific food item that has become the official food of the city of Halifax. And I really love them. And you can't get them outside of the Maritimes. Halifax is the place to get them, though. The authentic. I'm talking about Halifax/East Coast Donairs. What's a donair? It's like a gyro, but it isn't. And there are some donairs that originate from the Middle East. Not that type. This is called an East Coast donair. Different type sauce. You want more information, you can look it up, Google it. And it's just something that I really like. So I was on a quest, and people were joking about that, but I was very busy. We were going, you know, helping to organize it and doing this and that at the conference. And I did manage to get a couple of hours to myself. So we were staying in downtown Halifax, pretty near, And I'm walking down a street that I'm totally familiar with. Brought back some memories. A bit of melancholy, I must admit, because I was very young. I was in my 20s when I used to walk down that street working for a radio station on air and then sales. And seeing some of the things that I saw and badminton outlets that I was involved in. And, you know, here I am, 61, and thinking, oh, boy, I thought I had the world by the tail back then. And what happened? In any case, I'm not going to get into that. But I was searching for a Donair. I wanted to go to the King of Donair where it was first invented, but it was too long a walk. So I'm walking towards downtown, the real heart of Halifax, asking people, millenniums. Well, I could barely spit that out. Where's a good Donair place? And they were sending me here, there. And anyway, I found one. A solid 8 Donair. 8 out of 10. Solid. Then on the way back, I took a little different route. Came across another Donair place. That was a solid 7. Not quite as good as the previous, but okay. In both instances, I'm sitting on a stool facing against the glass towards the outside. Right? And I'm seeing people walk by. One thing I noticed. Now, I don't know what it is. Is it the salt air? Is it the fact that maybe there aren't a lot of people walking in downtown Halifax who have ADHD, perhaps? I don't know. Maybe there are. But these people were walking with a purpose. I say that because not one of the people I saw that whole duration, hour and a half or so, did I see them walking with their head down looking at their smartphone? Not one. I didn't see anyone looking at their smartphone, not walking, just standing there. It was unbelievable. You don't see that, at least here in the Toronto area. When we landed back in Toronto, it's the first thing everybody did. Got to check the phone, got to check what's important. I got to check to see what my friend ate yesterday. I need pictures. I need email. None of that. None. Zip. Nada. I'm going to give them a round of applause because it was very refreshing. I'm not attached to my cell phone. More my PC, maybe because I'm old school, but I have to remind myself to bring my cell phone along. But these days, there are people who can't live without it. Not in Halifax. I don't know if that's true for the whole province of Nova Scotia, but not in Halifax. Now, let's get back to the conference. There was something I mentioned at the conference desk, as I was staffing the desk, and there were a lot of people around me, both helping me staff the desk and on the other side of the desk, table, I should say. And I brought up something that I brought up on the Club ADHD Facebook page that inspired a lot of people reacting. And it was this. I said, I'm not sure if it's my ADHD, but I have a problem with remembering to shut a kitchen cabinet door after I've opened it. And a lot of people on the Facebook page were saying, yeah, me too. It's as if that I unearthed something about ADHD that was never talked about before for whatever reason, but people were identifying with it. So I brought it up at the conference as we're just sitting around. And again, fellow ADHDers, yeah, I do that all the time. And the funny thing is, there were a few people who didn't have ADHD, and they said, no, I closed the door. So I guess it's, I don't know, an ADHD trait, if you want to call it that. I don't know, but no one talks about it, but hey, how about you? Do you have ADHD? Do you forget to close the door after you've opened it, kitchen cabinet-wise? I have the feeling there are people nodding their heads saying, yeah, it's me. Interesting. I thought it was anyway. Now, getting back to some oddities. Talking to people and, you know, just getting involved and relating to what they're saying. That wasn't odd. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me just the other day. Nothing to do with the conference. It's like a little voice talking to me. Yeah, I can hear some people saying, oh, he has little voices in his head talking to him. I knew he was like that. Ah, no, not that type of voice. I'm talking about, you know, intuition type voice. Just something inside of you saying, try this. Look at this. I bet you're going to find this. that intuition in me was saying the other night, as I was on the internet, and I'm on it quite often, check to see if Club ADHD, the podcast, is on a best of list for podcasts. I don't know what made me think it. It's just a little voice. So sure enough, I put it to Google, Club ADHD, list, best of. Bam. What comes up? Apparently, not apparently, we are on a list. The best ADHD podcasts for 2018. That was kind of neat. Saw that. Just the fact that something inside of me said, hey, check it out. It's something called Player FM. And they do up this list. Now, you might be saying, yeah, but how many ADHD podcasts are there? That doesn't really matter, right? I think there were 10 on the list. We made the 10th position. Just as long as there were 11, we did something. We'd be kind of wacky if there were only 8 and we were 10 on the list. But that was nice to see. And again, strange things happened with me. And that voice was telling me something. I don't know where that voice came from, but it came. And I have that happen a lot. Do you ever experience something like that? I don't think it's an ADHD thing. I don't. It could be just synchronicity, or it could be just the luck of the draw. I don't know. But it happens to me a lot. But maybe because of my ADHD and my lousy memory, I don't remember a lot of it. I say, I got to write that down. And I write it down, I forget where I wrote it. Or I even had a receptionist where I worked once at a radio station, and she was very intrigued by it. And she said, come back and tell me if you've experienced something strange, and I'll write it down. So she did, and we lost touch with each other, and I don't know where that list is. But there's one thing that stands out, and it doesn't have, well, there is a kind of an ADHD tie into it. And I'm going to tell you this story. You can believe it or not believe it, but trust me, it is true. It really did happen. And it happened in Halifax. Go figure. And it was back in the day when people paid you when you did a job. They gave you a check. There were no direct deposits, right? If you're working for a company, you got a check every couple of weeks or twice a month, whatever. So I got my check. I was working for a radio station. I'm trotting to the bank. And back then, there were no bank cards. Or maybe if there were, there weren't many. It wasn't as common. They weren't as common as they are now. I mean, everyone has a bank card that does any banking. No, you take your check back then, and there's a stand-up desk, and you fill out a deposit slip. And you put the particulars down and how much the check is for, and you write down your account number. Then you bring it to the teller, and you know she puts the money in the bank for you. Well, because of my lousy memory, I always had to have a piece of paper with my account number on it stuck into my wallet. And it's the same piece of paper I used for a long time. So I recognize the paper, of course. Can't remember the number. But in this case, I go into my wallet. I'm searching. I don't see that familiar piece of paper. But I see another piece of paper that doesn't look familiar. But it had a number on it that looked like a bank account number. It had, I don't know how many digits a bank account has, 8 or whatever. And it had the little slash in between there with the hyphen. So I said, what the heck? I'll write it down on the deposit slip, and the teller will tell me if I'm wrong. You know, it's probably a good chance because it doesn't look familiar. That I think visually, a lot of ADHDers do, and that piece of paper didn't look right, but what the heck, I'll go up to the teller. Now, there were about 4 tellers operating, so I go to this one teller. Again, this is an 8-digit number, at least, and I pass the deposit slip and my check, and the teller looks down at the deposit slip and says, are you sure you want to deposit this check into this account? So I'm thinking, oh, sounds like it's the wrong account. So I said, well, I probably got the account number wrong. You'll have to look it up. She says, good, because it's my account number. What? It's her account number. An 8-digit number, 4 tellers, a piece of paper in my wallet. I don't know how it got in there. Didn't look familiar. I don't know. It's one of those moments. And that is so bizarre. I can't forget that. There are lots of other things I can forget, but can't forget that. So that's my weird story. A little bit of an ADHD tie-in there. Have you ever experienced stuff like that? Huh? So what did I do? I went and bought a lottery ticket from her. It was back when banks were selling $10 lottery tickets to help offset the cost of the Montreal Olympics. I didn't win. So I guess it wasn't transferred into the lottery. It would be nice if it did, but you know, luck of the draw? Perhaps. Boy, talk about one in a trillion. Anyway, that's my life. Now, let's get back to the conference. I mentioned about an initiative that will help join us together, that if we band together with a bunch of individual voices, perhaps we can create one big voice and present that voice to the people who can make changes for us, maybe in government, employment, scholastically, wherever, whenever. And this initiative is called ADHD Speaks. It's a CADAC initiative. I support it. And a number of other people who are somewhat high profile, they support it. And we were really hyping it up during the conference because it was just unveiled about 10 days prior to the conference thereabouts. And we're trying to get, what we want to do is we want to get people to send us their story, preferably as a little video, a selfie video you can make on your smartphone and your iPhone, whatever, iPad, notebook. And it could be 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Just give a story about your ADHD, good, bad, or ugly. And then we'll put it together and we'll feature it. And we'll put it on a specific YouTube channel, a CADAC YouTube channel. And then we'll gather them all together and you know, maybe we can do some good. It's a 16-month initiative. And if you're a little shy about showing your face, you can do it from the neck down, or you can do an audio version of it, no video. Just send us your audio recording. Or if you want to put pen to paper, do people still do that? Or maybe fingers to the keyboard, maybe, and write out your story and send it to us. And when I say us, go to cadac.ca for more information on how to upload. It's simple. So we were really pushing it and getting people right there and then to tell us their story. I, for one, was in charge. Me and a person named Laura, who was featured on the podcast a few podcasts ago. She's known as the ADHD Mama. That was our task, one of our tasks, to look after that, to get people involved and videoing their story. So we did that. And I think it's going to be good. We just got to get people off of the chair and to do it. And I'm trying to think of other things to come up with. Maybe people can do it by way of, video telephoning, you know, Skyping, whatever, and we'll record it, whatever. So that's what we were really pushing. And that's where I'd like the show to go today, to focus a little bit on that. What do I mean by that? Well, let's find out. But first, here's a snappy stinger. Okay, normally this is the interview portion of the podcast. We don't have interviews per se. We are going to feature some of those videos that were recorded during the CADAC conference in Halifax, the ADHD Speaks videos. Make a few comments after the video. Now, you're not going to be able to see it. You're just going to be able to hear them. But it's people's stories. Very interesting. And, you know, you might be shaking your head when you're hearing these stories, saying, yeah, that's me. Or maybe, ADHD is a broad spectrum. But there are common threads in here. So let's start off with our first ADHD Speaks story. Story from real people with real ADHD. Now, this first story has a little bit of a background to it. Now, I'm not talking about the information, but actual voices in the background. So I hope you don't find that distracting, but I'm sure you'll be able to hear the message.
I was diagnosed a few years ago. I'm doing this, I guess, talk now just to kind of make people aware how challenging it is to actually get a diagnosis and how much misinformation there is out there. I was your typical kid that got hurt all the time, but never really thought anything of it. I've managed to get through an undergrad. Not sure how I did that. But it was after that that I really realized that there's something different and that I'm really struggling. So I went to my family physician, and I was actually initially, it was in 2012, I was actually diagnosed with depression and OCD. So that started a 4-year stint of really terrible medication side effects. Thoughts of sometimes attempts of suicide, just completely emotionally flat. The antidepressants just destroyed whatever emotional ability I had. And that really, I reached out to everybody. Reached out to my family physician, to mental health. I'm from New Brunswick. Basically, I got weeded out of the pack because I wasn't a serious enough case, I guess, for mental health. But basically, finally, my family physician got tired of me asking, and referred me to a psychiatrist. Unfortunately, my family physician's writing is not really legible, so the psychiatrist asked me to read something in the notes, and I was referred presenting with profound OCD. So basically, I advocated for myself to the point that my family physician was saying that I had OCD. So after a few years with a great psychiatrist, they ruled out head trauma, because as ADHDers know, we're prone to accidents, especially when we're kids. And then I got my ADHD diagnosis. And the hell that I went through for those years, I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. So if this gets through to at least one person who can, you know, reach out to the right people, have people advocate for them, then I think this ADHD Speaks has done its job, for sure.
Wow. Is that a story you can relate to? Again, I apologize for the background noise, but I hope you could hear this story. And it's a story that isn't uncommon, unfortunately. But if we can make a difference, band together, maybe it won't be a common situation in the future. Fingers crossed. But just to struggle through life without knowing, without getting the proper help, and finally getting it, which is good, but just leading life, not knowing, and facing a difficult challenge that could be alleviated or somewhat, well, it could be alleviated, not the whole challenge, but if that person had the right help, the right information, the right meds at the right time, they wouldn't have to go through that hell. It would be a challenge, but that's what we're trying to do here. So could you relate? You know something? I could relate to that story. Here's another story from ADHD Speaks.
Hi, my name's Wayne. I'm Wayne O'Brien from Toronto, Canada. I was diagnosed with ADHD in 2003. And for me, it was kind of a life-changing thing, because I always knew, you know, since childhood that there's something different. Certainly to summarize what I learned in perhaps the years to follow, it's almost like there's five things kind of significant about ADHD. Probably three of them are not good at all. But I find with treatment, meds, exercise, of those three, you can easily get rid of two of those three. And so for me, it really is, I find it almost great to have, but it was a poison for me to have had for the first 35 years of my life, because I did things that perhaps people with ADHD should not do. I was an accountant, did a lot of paperwork, and that certainly was not good for me. Fortunately, there was coping mechanisms, like always being on the go. I did a lot of travel, been to 30 countries, over 50, or all 50 states. And so for me, just allowing it, allowing to understand what it is makes a huge difference, and perhaps unlike any other major medical health issue, because it's so treatable through education courses itself, I've seen massive changes in a lot of people. It is still unfortunate there's so much ignorance amongst a lot of people in the psychiatric profession, as well as educators and just society at large, because of the stigma. But I'm just happy that those that do get the diagnosis or do get to understand, that they themselves can have huge changes in their life, and that I'm just forever grateful for discovering that I have ADHD too.
And that's Wayne's story. For those of you who haven't heard the edition featuring Wayne, he's been a guest on the podcast here. Very optimistic fellow. Yeah, he struggled with ADHD, as he had mentioned, but he's come to grips with it, and he looks at it as perhaps a positive. But he also runs a group, an ADHD support group in Toronto, so he gets to experience a lot of other people and their ADHD and to see them progress once the proper resources are presented to them. So he's seen it all. And he alluded to being an accountant. Yes, he did people's books. And some people might say ADHD isn't really conducive to that. Actually, there are some successful accountants who have ADHD. I would think not a lot of them, because from my experience and from what I've heard from other people, sometimes mathematics can be a little tricky because it's so cut and dried. It's not creative. So it's easy to make a slip up. Whereas if it was something that was to do with creativity, you know, the boundaries are open. So there's no real set in stone type situation. But yeah, he's accepted his ADHD, and he's of the opinion that he's here to help people, other people with ADHD. So I commend him with that. The funny thing is, he drove to Halifax with three other people in a small car. It's a healthy drive. It's not just a couple of hours. It's several hours. It's, I don't know, from Toronto to Halifax, if you were to drive, I'm guessing, 14 hours at least. In a little car and having to travel up through northern Quebec and northern New Brunswick. In late October, you're rolling the dice when it comes to snow. But I thought, boy, are they going to make it back in one piece? But they went all over the place. They had a heck of a time. Four people with ADHD in a little car in late fall, and you don't know what Mother Nature's going to throw at them, but they went to a lot of places. They went and took a ferry from Digby, Nova Scotia, to St. John, New Brunswick on the way home. And they saw things and had a really good time, very optimistic. And he is an optimistic type of a guy, and I wish I had a little more of his optimism, because sometimes I can be a Debbie Downer. I'll admit it. Sometimes it can happen. And yes, I do have depression with my ADHD. And, you know, that's something that some of us have to deal with. But Wayne is a pretty optimistic guy. So it's always nice to talk to him. Now, let's hear another story from ADHD Speaks.
Hello, I'm Florence Harrow from Red Deer, Alberta. I heard about ADHD from a longtime friend who has had the condition for a while, who didn't understand what he had until he was finally diagnosed as an adult with ADHD. He withdrew from our social circle after learning of his condition. He was afraid to talk about it. I didn't quite understand his extreme behaviors, and as a friend, I was disheartened. Took him years before opening up and finally raised his concerns on the lack of awareness, education, and support of the government for ADHD. He talked about his struggles and the significant impact on his relationships with his family and friends, and the stigma attached to the condition. How many people out there are like him and his family, suffering inside, misjudged for their behaviors, ending up debilitated because of the lack of support? It's time to talk about ADHD. Let's spread the awareness. As Mrs. Queen of the World Canada 2018, I support CADAC's campaign. Let's all support ADHD Speaks.
Again, that's Florence. And as you probably guessed, Florence does not have ADHD. And she was entered in a pageant of some sort that she won. And that's what she alluded to at the end there. But it was good to know that there are people out there who are willing to help ADHD people and to go on record in doing so. And that's what Florence did with her friend. Her friend obviously struggling not only with having ADHD, but the diagnosis. And I know a lot of people say, boy, once I was diagnosed, I get on the right track and things are great. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the diagnosis will cause a person to clam up because of the, as Florence said, the stigmas that are out there. You know, the labels, the mislabels, the incorrect facts. They're not facts, myths. And her friend decided to just retract, move away from society. And he's lucky to have a friend like her. And if we can only have more people who think like Florence, more people who don't have ADHD, but are willing to find out more about it and are willing to help people with ADHD. In this case, Florence was helping, is helping her friend. So that was, you know, somewhat of a challenging, sad story, but a happy story too, because someone like Florence is there and we need more people like her there, more people like her in not only on a relationship level, but on a government level, scholastically, wherever, the people who can make a change for us can help us. So I found that to be a pretty interesting story, a challenging and sad story, but with some happy elements to it. Now, let's hear one more story from Kadak's ADHD Speaks.
Hey, everybody, it's Big Daddy Taz. You know, living with ADD when I was a kid, attention deficit disorder, I guess we're talking about, the fact was that it was a blessing and a curse, really. The blessing part was that I could escape in my mind anytime I wanted to, pretty much anywhere I was. The cursed part was that I would often do it at school, and I spent a lot of time in the hallways. A lot of time in the hallways. Way, proportionally, probably more time in the hallway than I did in the actual classroom, but and it wasn't for the reasons that the teachers thought. I wasn't being disrespectful. I wasn't trying to be ignorant. I wasn't trying to be a showboat. I wasn't trying to be any of that. I just got really bored very quickly, and I just had no filter. I said whatever came out of my mouth, and my body did whatever it wanted to do, and getting the laughs was actually kind of a bonus. But I remember doing something in the class that I don't remember what it was, but I know it was hilarious. I thought it was so funny. And my teacher, Mrs. Gradish, yeah, not so much. So she sent me off to the principal's office. And our principal was a big, formidable guy. He was a scary fella. Mr. Cook was his name. And I, sitting in the all-too-soft principal's chair, sinking slowly, both of spirit and physically, into that chair. And he comes in and he sits down and he leans over the desk and he says, you have trouble paying attention. He goes, Tim, this is becoming a problem. You can't pay attention. You get bored easily. And I said, And I was terrified. I was so scared and really ashamed. I was ashamed that it got to the point where, you know, I was in the principal's office. Side note, one of many, 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 many times in the principal's office. But Mr. Cook leaned forward and he says, yeah, me too. I think you have something called attention deficit disorder. And that was it. I had an ally and I had a name for what it was, and it wasn't just me. And finally, I had somebody to see me for who I was instead of what I was. And Mr. Cook, I appreciate that very much. You took the first step into teaching me to love and embrace my diagnosis and who I am.
By the way, Taz is a comedian, and he so generously shared his story with us. And an interesting story, I'm sure a lot of us can relate to, especially the buildup. And I was waiting for all hell to break loose once he went into the principal's office. However, it took a very pleasant turn that the principal not only understood ADHD, he had ADHD. And, you know, that just reinforces something that I tout all the time, that if educators could only understand it, then their students with ADHD wouldn't be as much of a problem. Wouldn't be a problem at all if you really understood it and could adapt your teaching strategies towards someone with ADHD. And I've had teachers tell me that once they did that, not only did the child with ADHD flourish, but it helped the whole class. Yes, it calmed the class down, but even the strategies were so interesting for the other students that they flourished. So, Taz, thank you for that story. It just reinforces the fact that, you know, knowledge is power. And to be able to identify with someone in power as a kid going to school, to be acknowledged, and that person of power being able to show some empathy and understanding can go a long way. So that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make a different landscape when it comes to ADHD. Hear our voices collectively. Now, if you want to get involved in this, I urge you to. I have been involved with it from day one. I didn't play my story, but my story's up there. If you want to hear the other stories, you want to see the videos, go to CADDAC's website, CADDAC.ca. Hit the link for ADHD Speaks, and you'll go to the YouTube channel, and they're all there. And we want to get more. We need more. You know, we've got some, not a lot. We need much, much more. And if you're uncomfortable with doing that, get a hold of me. Go on our webpage, Club ADHD, the podcast. No, just clubadhd.ca, and hit the letter icon. Send me a note. That's what it's all about. So that's what I thought would be interesting for today, to hear some stories from real people with real ADHD. Could you relate to them? I know I could, and I have the feeling you could too, to some degree. Hey, it's our story. No one else is living it, just us, and I hope you're getting by with living it. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I hope you learned a little something. I know I did. Maybe had an experience of a chuckle or two or whatever. Hey, by all means, please spread the word about this podcast, because we want more listeners. It's not just the fact that, hey, listen to my podcast, I have all these listeners. No, it's really not about that. It's about getting together, joining forces, sharing our stories so that we can all benefit from it. Because there is something to benefit when we all get together and unite and, you know, tell our stories so that we aren't alone. We don't get that alone feeling that it's just me, because that's real easy to happen, especially if your ADHD is combined with depression. It's easy to be isolated. It's easy to think, I have ADHD and I see some successful people using it to their benefit. And there are people out there who do it. Probably fewer than those who can't develop into something positive or have trouble doing it. But it's easy to see the successful people. Why aren't I successful? I have ADHD. Well, it doesn't work that way. But if we can all get together, tell our stories, at least we know that we're not doing this alone. We can band together and perhaps make a difference. That's what it's all about. Whether it's, you know, Club ADHD, the podcast, the Facebook page, the Twitter account, or Club ADHD Speaks, or CADDAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, we are all on the same page. And I hope you're reading the book with me. Say, if you liked what you heard, please drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Heard some people talk positively about the podcast in Halifax during the conference. And it helps me too. Sometimes I need to get going and really, you know that people are listening and that it's helping them. Not for my own ego, but just so that, you know, we all want to be liked, right? And I'm not doing this as a way to be liked, but it's always nice to hear that what you're doing is making a difference. And if you have a problem with the podcast, as I've said before, don't say anything. I can't handle it. Be constructive, please, if you do have a comment that might be able to help the podcast. You know, I teach that in public speaking. I do teach public speaking, and I make it an effort. I call it a sandwich, an assessment sandwich that, you know, you start off with something good, something constructive, and then end with something good so that a person can feel good, take some constructive criticism, and still feel good about it. Anyway, I digress. That's all the time we have for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying that I'm going to do my best to get caught up, which means I'll have to produce another podcast next week. And if that didn't happen, well, so be it. It'll be the following week. Sorry, old chap. Oh, gotta get that out of my system. In any case, as I always say, please spread the word. What word am I talking about? What words am I talking about? Well, it goes like this. ADHD is real. Bye for now.